the benefit statement presentation.
So in your packet, you see like a five-page benefit statement. I know that those of you that are active members, you received a benefit statement. You probably had other people ask you questions about them before. Some of you appointed members may never have seen one. And we redesigned them this year, and you asked us to show it to you. So here it is. So first of all, what looks like four pages is actually printed on a single sheet of 11 by 17 paper and folded in half to look like a four-page booklet, and then the data correction request form is a separate sheet of paper that's tri-folded and put in a number 10 envelope. On the first page, we have the a lot of member data, a name, birth date, employer. If they're reciprocal, shows the reciprocal service, their salary, their tier, their current tier. So if any information that we have is incorrect, they can immediately see and contact us and let us know that we need to look into something. If you look on the next page, two, there's some beneficiary information. This is one thing that's new this year. We used to simply, when people had multiple beneficiaries, we just said children or something. We didn't have room in the system to actually store all the information. Now we can list out all the beneficiaries, the relationship, the percentages. The example here only has one, but you can see there's room for five. On the bottom of page two is the service totals. Many people have service in more than one tier. And to keep all that straight, we show them exactly how much service they have in each tier, how much service they purchased could be in each tier. And so they can make sure that that looks right. This is service as of the end of, probably through actually November of the end of the year. On the top page three is the contribution totals, the employee contributions, all their contributions and all their interest in all their different tiers, their balance at the end of the year after interest is credited. That's something people are interested in. They want to see that their money is being credited to them. And below that, we project out their retirement allowances at various ages. So there's room for three different ages. So it's supposed to be their first age that they're eligible, the age that they hit their maximum, and somewhere in the middle. So depending on your tier and how old you are, the ages, projected ages are going to be different. If somebody's already eligible, it's going to show the first age is going to be their current age, not back in the past when they were eligible. See a list of disclaimers that are mentioned that kind of explain what these numbers are. We don't project salary, it's simply their current salary. We just project the service. And the final page, the back page, is just the information about the benefit, the formula. Basically, your benefit is your salary times your years of service times your age factor, and your age factor depends on your age, obviously, but also your tier. And that's about it. Then if there's anything they have questions on or anything that doesn't look right, we really want to give them all the information, especially on their beneficiaries, in case they want to change their beneficiary, they have an ex-wife listed there, or somebody who's deceased already. So then they can go ahead and verify that this information is correct. We provide a form that if there's incorrect information, they can simply fill out the form and turn it in through interoffice mail or drop it off. And we can process these and answer their questions. Any questions?
I was impressed. I hadn't seen one of these. So the
first straightforward.
Looks great. One quick question. You have like the crude sick leave, you got an abstract, but I could see people saying, huh, I don't see nothing. What does that abstract mean about the crude sick leave would add? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They don't.
Yes.
A lot of people won't know that's, you get a day of service for every day of sick leave.
Right.
You'll have people that wouldn't know that.
So where are you looking? Is that the bottom of page three?
Page three, yeah, where it says estimated retirement age stuff.
Yeah.
You have the accrued sick leave would add, and you have an abstract there.
Oh.
And it doesn't explain anything.
Yeah.
And I could see people just, well, what does they mean by that? And you'll be getting 100 phone calls.
Okay. That's a good point.
And this is a big improvement over the layout of the prior statement.
Yeah.
And looking back now, we probably should have included both because it is such a drastic change.
Yeah.
But I think this new layout really makes it much easier to read and decipher the information. So I wanted to thank Kurt for all of the hard work that's been spent on this.
Yeah, so when we redesigned it, we looked at the current one. We had some things we wanted to change. We also looked at all the other 37 Act ones. And then we asked our benefit, these are actually printed, the projections are done by our benefits consultant. So we asked them, our previous one was designed in-house, but we asked them, okay, you design benefit statements, show us benefit statements. What kind of things do they put on there, not put on there? You know, public sector, be great, send us anything you think might be relevant, and they send us a Ceres, which we already had, so.
I think it looks great. I mean,
it does.
It's really good. I mean, this is
really good.
It's a good job. I mean, especially with the different tiers now, people can really figure out what's going on.
Oh, good. Thanks.
I would hope this would cut down on the potential for misunderstandings between what someone thought versus what they were told kind of thing. This is pretty expansive, and if there were going to be questions, I would hope they would come up earlier rather than later. I know it's not perfect, and you never know, but I thought it was really good.
People's statements can be very complicated when they have different tiers and different reciprocity and different service purchases. And, you know, we just try to show them the information we have, all of it.
Right. If somebody's tracking their own stuff, though, and a lot of employees will, they can compare and contrast. And
yep.
It's got that level of detail, I think, that allow everybody to do that. I liked it.
Kurt, we've got 50, 53, and 55 as our projected retirement age. What thought did you give in selecting those to something like 50, 55, and 60, for example?
Well, like I said, it depends on their tier and when they're eligible. So in this example, the person's eligible at 50. So that's right. The first one that we show is 50, when they're first eligible. And then since it's a safety member and they so rarely go past 55, I think 55 is the last. So I think for a typical safety member, it's 50, 53, and 55. And for a typical general member, legacy member, it would also be 50 and then 55 when they're eligible for the 2%, and then 62 or something.
So these will differ then,
they
depending
differ.
Upon...
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So if it's a safety member and he's already 52, it doesn't show 50. It shows 52.
Okay. Good.
If it's a PEPR member, it doesn't show 50 because they're not eligible until 52.
I thought this was an excellent statement. I only had a little question. The bottom of page four, that heading, it's so casual. It just says about this statement, and yet it seems to me that you've got such important disclaimer information there that you might even want to bring some additional attention to it. That's language something like disclaimer or important notice, or and maybe even highlight that whole section, because it's basically all your wiggle room that these are not.
The standard is
for
a disclaimer to be very, very tiny.
I know. That's, but it seems to it doesn't
well,
need
I
to be a larger type, but it
size.
Seems to me the disclaimer should be, you know, should stand out. And maybe it's just bold type.
You call it in the
big
radio
arrows
commercial.
Yeah, they go like this to say, hey, don't forget
it's not
this.
Our fault.
These are estimates, you know, based upon the information we have, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not just about this statement. It's kind of like a throwaway.
Okay.
Incidentally.
Oh,
by the way.
But nicely done.
Yeah, really good.
Okay. If there is nothing further on this, we are on number 10.
Oh, Kurt, the numbers in this example, they're just pulled out of the air because the years of service are not going to necessarily reflect the it used in this, the 1.66 years of service total, are not going to reflect the
contribution, the contribution amounts and things like that, or is this a...
Yeah, they pulled that idea.
It might be real numbers, yes.
Okay, okay.
If it's a safe, so if this were a safety confire member, I think Will can explain why it seems like the contribution seemed like an awful lot for such a short amount of service.
For the 1.6 years, yeah, just a little.
I can share something from earlier life experiences in benefit statements. If you were to use the underlying salary scale assumed increase assumption, you get numbers on there that right. No one recognizes,
right.
That are far greater, which mm-hmm. is what we're funding the plan against, by the way. But if you show anything like that, you just guaranteed to, on the one hand, discombobulate anyone trying to read it, and number two, develop a set of expectations that put you in a very difficult position. So I,
so doing it in terms of not projecting the salary is a shortcut way of doing everything in terms of today's dollars.
Yes.
If you project the salary, you have to explain to them that in the future, the purchasing power is much different. Whereas if you do it this way, you don't. You just say, these are the dollars that you're familiar with, like the ones in your wallet, today's dollars.
Okay, anything further? Thank you. Thanks, Kurt.